at the end of Daf Mem Bet Amud Bet, or we could start about a few lines into Mem Gimel. What's that? Where's that? On Mem Gimel already?
Yeah.
On Mem Gimel? Oh, so somebody's doing me. So who's doing all the hard work for me by going to my page? What's that? Really? Okay. What's that? So finally, I have to say, B'li Ayin Hara, without making any promises, or B'li Shavua, this is very fast Gemara, actually, so I think we're going to get through it also very quickly. What? The next page is... Oh, no, you're in the riff. Turn to the beginning of the Gemara. Yeah, you went too far. So it's actually pretty big Gemara, but it's very, very simple Gemara compared to that which I've taught you before. I don't know other pages, I couldn't tell you, but it's very straightforward Gemara. There's a little bit of a difficult sugya, the first sugya, and then afterwards we're just going to fly. So the Gemara says, Hasebu Echad, Hasebu Echad Mivarech. So if they're at a seat together, if they're all sitting, if they're all lying together, sort of leaning together, then one person is Mivarech for everybody else. This goes back to the original Mishnah. I'll just read to the original Mishnah, which is Balehem Yayin, which is Hayyoshim Kolachan Mivarech La'atmo. If they were all sitting together and having a meal, and everybody makes their own Hamotzerech and Aretz. Otherwise, if they're leaning down, then one person makes a motzi, everybody else says amen, and you're good to go. So Amarav, Lo Shano Elapat, Dibayi Haseba. That only, the Gemara only says that you require Haseba in order to make a unified bracha, but that's only by bread. Aval Yayin Lo Bayi Haseba. Now that means that by Yayin you're more makil, essentially, or more permissive than you are with bread. Which means if you're sitting around with wine and you're not all leaning down together, you're just sort of sitting at the same table, you could still make one person make a bracha gafen. So that means that's more inclusive on wine, you're more likely to make a unified bracha on wine the other way. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu B'Yayin Nami Bayi Haseba. And Rav Yochanan says, no. He equates the two, and he says, Yayin, you also need people to be lying down together in order to, leaning together on their recliners in order to make the bracha. Ikadamri, but there's another way of learning what they said. There was another opinion to what they said. Amarav, Lo Shalom Lepate Mahanile Hasaba. That we only learned by pot, by bread, that if you, mahani means you could take advantage of the haseba in order to make a unified bracha. Val b'yayin lo mahani le haseba. This is less inclusive, it's exclusive, which means by wine, even if you do haseba, you cannot make a unified bracha, everybody has to make their own bracha. And then Rav makes it more lenient, he says, no, Rav Yochanan Omer, afilu yayin nami mahani la haseba. You follow? So it's two different ideas, the first one being more exclusive, and the first, wine is inclusive as far as the unified bracha, and the second one, wine is excluded. Meiteve, the Gemara asks a question. He's going to tell a story and ask a question based on this story. Meiteve, Ketzad Seder Haseba. So there's a Tanaic statement that goes through the process of sitting down and leaning together and having a unified meal. Orchein, Nichnasim, V'Yoshim. Guys come together, come into this hotel or this kibbutz dining room, or whatever it is, people come together. V'Yoshim Al Gabi Safsam. They all sit on couches. O Al Gabi Kitidaraot on the cathedral, some kind of small chairs. Achi kansu kulam, until everybody comes together for the unified meal. Have you lahem mayim kol echad echad notel yado echad? What they do is they all wash one hand. You bring a mayim and they all wash one hand. Why the one hand? They only need one hand to lift up the wine. Since all they can do is drinking with the wine, they just wash the one hand, which is their drinking hand. Why? Because if your hand is dirty, it could be tuma sheni, and that, since wine is wet, so the tuma would go from your hand into the wine, and therefore you wash one hand to get rid of the tuma on one hand, and that's the only hand that you're going to touch the wine with. Balahem yayin kol echad ve'echad. Then what happens? Then comes the wine. So what we're at the pre-meal stage, when all they've done is washed one hand, and not everybody is yet organized and gathered for the meal. Kol echad ve'echad mivarech ha'atzmo. And then, of course, everybody makes, reasonably enough, everybody makes a bracha for themselves, bori pragafen. Alu v'hasebu u'balahem mayin. Then what they do is they get up and everybody comes in together. They all lie down for the meal, so to speak. They all really finalize the fact that they're together for the meal. And then more water comes. Afal pish kol echad echad natal yado echad. Even though they've already washed one hand, chozem enotel shteyadav. They still have to go and rewash both hands, not just one hand, not just the other hand, or the hand that wasn't washed. So now they've washed both hands. Balahem yayin. Then they bring more wine. Even though everybody has already done one bracha for the wine already, you still have to make another bracha because I didn't have kavana for the second wine. So echad mivarech lekulam. So not only do I have to make another bracha, even though I've already made a bracha before everybody sat down and really got into the meal, not only do I make a second bracha, but in this case, one guy can make the bracha, and everybody has to say amen, but he could be yotzi everybody. So Gemara says, v'hech nishna da'amar rav. How does the language, we had two lushnas as far as Rav is. Neither one of them works out with this story, this long story. Yeah, I just want to quickly go through the process. You come in, not everybody's there yet. You bring in water, wash one hand. You bring in the wine, everybody makes bracha on the wine separately because obviously the meal's not organized. Then the meal gets organized, they bring in more water, you wash your hands fully. Then you bring in wine, and now since the meal is organized, you can wash on, one person says Brit Gagafin for everybody. But that doesn't work out with either language of what Rav said. Because the first thing that Rav says, Lo Shanu El Apat Baye Seba. We only learned that when you do leaning, that only works by bread. Aval Yayin, but if you're all leaning around with wine, Aval Yayin Lo Baye Haseba. This is the more lenient opinion. That is, wine doesn't require a Seba. I got four people sitting around, I don't know, standing up at a wet bar. They don't have to do Haseba. One person can say Brit Gagafin, that includes everybody else. But then Avakasha L'Resha, then the first part of that story I told you doesn't make sense, because remember the first part of the story, not everybody had gathered together for the meal, and it said that everybody has to make a bracha separately. If I don't need Haseba to qualify group wine drinking, so why don't I have one person say Brit Gagafin and be able to say everybody? So the Gemara says, no, Shiny, Orchin, Didaitin, Lemeaker. It's a psychological issue. These are Orchin, these are visitors. These aren't like guys in your house. These are people who come and go. As a matter of fact, the wet bar is probably a good example. This is a guy who comes, takes a drink, and then leaves. And by the very fact that they're Orchin to this guy's house, the Rashi brings down, if I'm not mistaken, that essentially there's a rich guy and he pays, essentially he puts out a nice bar and poor people come in and they drink from him, but essentially it's in and out, in and out. And because that, even though that wine theoretically doesn't require Haseba to be one person be owed to everybody, which means I know that when people get together for wine, they're doing it together. However, if they're Orchim, the psychology of Orchim is we're not together. Everybody for his own glass of wine. So therefore, in this case with an Orchim, therefore one bracha for everybody doesn't match, and therefore you need brachas everybody. But now I got a problem going to the other listener. But on the other hand, we got another problem with what Rav said. The second opinion of what Rav says, Lo Shana Lepate Mahanile Haseba. Only by pan is it good for you to do Haseba that allows you to do a group Bori Priha, I'm sorry, Hamos Lachmanaret. Aval Yayin, but Lo Mahanile Haseba. But if you have wine, if you do Haseba, it's no good. The assumption is that wine is such a minor food that even if I have 80 people all sitting around going, we all want to drink wine together, it's not a meal, and therefore if it's not official wheel, you can't make one bracha for everybody. Ah, but what's the problem? Kasha l'seifa, because what was the seifa? The seifa was after they all gathered together and after you washed their two hands, then one bracha for kiddush satisfied everybody. Are you coming to learn bracha with us? Oh, you do that one? Okay. No, don't apologize, please. It's all good at this. So the Gemara says, no, shiny hatam demigo, since the kamahanule hasabba the pot, mahanule hasabba leyayin. That's true. Even though, according to the second opinion, if I get 20 people together and they all say, let's drink wine together, I still can't, according to the second lishna, say one bracha for everybody because that's not a meal. But these guys were gathering together for the meal. The reason why they came to this guy, how do I know they were gathering together for the meal, by the way? What's the proof in the pudding? Because you wash both hands. Had they not been expecting pot, had they not been expecting the bread to be coming, they would have stuck with the single hand washing. By the fact that they wash both hands, it means that they're expecting bread to come after the wine, and therefore, since their mind is on the fact that they're together, even though the meal hasn't quite yet started, they consider this wine the extension of the meal, and therefore it's a group dish, and therefore one person can be yoked to the other, and either lishna works out. You have to pick or choose, but either one works out according to the story if you want it to. Next, Balahem Yayim Betocha Mazon. So now, that's the end of that Gemara. We're now on a brand new Gemara. The Gemara is talking about, back in the Mishnah, it said the following. I'll read the entire Mishnah, because the Gemara doesn't. Balahem Yayim Tocha Mazon. What if you bring wine in the middle of a meal? Kol Echad V'Echad Mevarech Atzmo. Everybody makes their own bracha on that glass of wine. Bircha Hamazon Echad Mevarech LeKulam. But for Birchat Hamazon, I believe that's what it means. Yeah, I think so. That's what it means. Then one person says Brit Gagafin is Yotze everybody else. Now, of course, this is a little weird in modern times because we very rarely say Brit Gagafin on on wine that comes in the middle. Although I believe the psak is that if you're actually drinking, if you're what kind of person that really drinks Pinot Noirs and all kind of fancy wines, I believe that if you have one wine to start off your meal, then you, for every single new wine that you bring, if it's fancier than the first one, what? I think either way, whether it's on the table or not on the table, if your wine that you're drinking is better, I mean really better than the first one, I think you say, what? And then there's also Atov Ma'amativ. I'm not sure exactly, at the end I'm not sure we paskin, because I know too many people really, you know, who do, it's not like sideways, I don't know people who do too much serious drinking, so I have to say I can't remember the last time I said, the only bracha that we tend to say in the middle of the meal is Rav Moshe said about desserts. He said if you have a fruit at the end, so you say prayer for eight. So that's a similar idea to what we have on Gafen, but I'm afraid that since, I don't know exactly what Allah is, but I believe that if you bring a better wine, you say Berber Gafen, and you say Atov Ma'amativ, although I don't know what you say if it was already on the table. If it was on the table, maybe you had Kavan anyway. I don't know, yeah, ask Rabbi Zwickler. And therefore you could have expected it. Yeah. And I don't know, I'm sorry, I apologize, I don't know what Allah is. But the assumption here is they're always drinking a better glass of wine. So bayim laim tochamazon. Shalu et ben zoma. So they asked ben zoma. They ma amru ba lahem yaim tochamazon. Kol echad vecham varech la'atzmo. So why is it that everybody has to make a bracha by themselves? That is, even though you're supposed to make a new bracha, you're obviously in the middle of a meal, and if you're obviously in the middle of a meal together, then why can't one person be yotzi another person, just like they did at the beginning of the meal? So the Gemara says, very simple, amru lahem hoil. Hoil ve'ein beit abli apanoi. Everybody's chewing, and their throats are all stuck. They're filled. Because everybody is busy with their own thing. Rashi says nobody's really thinking about it. Even if you say amen, you're not really thinking about it. But the bottom line, it could be a health issue. You don't want people to choke on it by saying amen, and you could say a more quiet bracha. Either way, he says that they're not really together. In the Mishnah it said that after Bechat Mazon, you bring the spices. They used to light those spices like, you know, you get when you go into the city, they occasionally have those like spice sticks that you smell. So even though those smell pretty bad, apparently they used to bring nice spices and people make a bracha on them. So the question is, what do we learn from this? Midakatani, from the Mishnah we learn, quote, the Hu Omer Ala Mugmar, he's the guy who has to make a bracha on this spices, the smell of the spices. Nechlau, what can I learn from that? The Ika Adivine, that there was a thought that somebody else should have made the bracha. Now, by the way, there is now Gemara in parentheses, which is deleted out, I should say, by the Bach, but I'll read it anyway. Vamai Ho Vahu Not Vamai, why is it? Yeah, the truth is the Gemara probably should be deleted, but I'll explain it the way it can be explained based on the next Gemara. The Amai, why is it this guy who's not the most important guy who should have been making the Birchat HaMazon in the first place, why is he getting up and saying Birchat HaMazon, and therefore he also gets to ride on the fact that he gets to say whatever the bracha is on Besamim, and why is the second string pitcher playing baseball on the opening day? So it says, V'hol v'hu notav yadav t'chila b'achrona. He's the guy who got to Mayim Achronim first. And the halach is, the guy who gets the Mayim Achronim first, he's the guy who says, he's the guy who benches. Now, again, I do not believe we paskin this way. Msayalei l'rav, this supports the idea of rav, d'amarav, chiyabarashi, amarav, hanotel yadav p'chilo, whoever washes their hands first, Mayim Achronim, ba'achrona, from Mayim Achronim, hu mezuma mebracha, he's the guy who makes the bracha. I'm fairly sure we do not paskin this way. Rav, now I'm going to tell a story in support of this, very interesting. Rav and Rabbi Chiya, Havi Yafe Kami, the Rav Sudata. Rav and Rav Chiya were all sitting in front of Rebbe. Vamalei Rebbe LeRav, so Rebbe turned to Rav, Kum Mashi Adecha, go wash your hands first. Which means he wanted him to say Bechat Mazon first. Chazid Havi Marate, but Rav didn't know that, so he started freaking out. He wanted to know why Rebbe was kicking him out of the table. He's like, you know, get out of here, sort of. Vamalei Rebbe Chiya, so Rav Chiya says, Barpachti, oh my goodness gracious, Rav, you son of brilliant people. Ayin bebirchat mezona kamalach. He's just telling you that he wants you to bench first, and therefore he wants you to wash your hands first. Bechat mezona. I have to tell you, the Gemara does not contradict either of these two statements. So this is one of these classic cases where you're surprised that it's not halacha lemaisa. Although, you know, I'm fairly sure it's not halacha lemaisa. Amarav zeir amarav, brand new Gemara. Amarav zeir amarav ba amarav yirmiyah. Me'amatay mevarchem ala reyach shemitalet me'amatay mevarchem ala reyach mishitalet timrato. When is it that you make bracha on the spices? Only when the smoke goes up. That is the smoke that you can smell things from. Amalei Rav Zeira the Rav of Yirmiya, Halo Karach. What do you mean? All you do is you see the spice. As soon as the smoke goes up from a little spice stick, you should smell it first. That's what you should make a bracha. Amar leilu time mech, according to your reasoning, amotzi lechem an aris and mevarech. You make a whole motzi lechem an aris, v'al log achil. You didn't eat it yet. Ela daitim achil. You planned on eating it. Hachanami daitel orach. As soon as you see that timron, you know that you're going to smell those spices. And therefore, essentially, it's the idea of you make a bracha. Actually, what's interesting is you make a bracha before you do the action, even though the action is not completely done yet. Amar chia berei de abba. Am I going too fast or is this okay? Amar chia berei de abba bar nachmani amar chista. We're now on the subject of spice brachas. Amarav va'amri lei. There are those who say amar chista amar zeiri in the name of the young ones. I think that's what it means. Kol hamugmarot mevarchem aleihem borei atzei b'samim. Every single kind of spice you say borei atzei b'samim, chutz mi mushk shemen chaya. Oh, sorry, chutz mi mushk shemen chayahu. Except for mushk, which is apparently some spice made out of a live animal. Shemevarchem aleihem borei minei b'samim. This is like your classic shakol miyeh b'dvaro. That makes borei minei b'samim the shakol miyeh b'dvaro of spices. But on everything else, you say borei atzei b'samim. May today we ask him a question. Ein mevarchim borei atzei b'samim ela afar simon shel beit rebbe al afar simon shel beit kesar v'al hadas shebechol makom. There are only three types of things that you say borei atzei, which means you are telling me that borei atzei b'samim is the default on all kinds of spices, and only if you're sure that it's not from a plant, that's when you say borei minei b'samim. But this brachah says exactly the opposite. You only say a bracha on afar simon shel beit rebbe, afar simon shel beit kesar, and hadas. By the way, Rashi points out this doesn't mean only hadas. Rashi points out this means hadas because it grows specifically from a tree. That is, as opposed to being a fruit like the hadas, then why these two hadas? Why, sorry, like the afar simon? Why especially these two persimmons? These persimmons were so special, you can only get them in Caesar's house. She made a special bracha borei atzei asamim. But otherwise, it has to be like a hadas, i.e. it has to be from a tree. So if I go sniff a tree that smells good, like an evergreen tree, that's borei atzei b'samim. But everything else, unless it's a super special apar simon, I'm going to say borei minei b'samim. So you were telling me borei minei b'samim is not the... You were telling me borei atzei b'samim is the default, and only if I'm sure it's not from a tree at all, then it's borei minei b'samim. That's not right. Apparently, it's only if it's actually from the stem of the tree that's borei atzei b'samim. Otherwise, borei minei b'samim. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, you got me. Yeah, Tiyufta. You're right. Right? Which, by the way, is definitely how we paskin today. Definitely how we paskin today. Borei atzei b'samim, you really save for, like you pull some evergreen, what are those things called when you pull off the evergreen tree? The green stuff. No, the bristles. So if you smell that, that's a borei atzei b'samim. But otherwise, it has to really come from a tree, borei atzei b'samim. Anyway, let's continue on. Amalei Rav Chista, the Rav Yitzchak. Hai mashka da farsimon mai mevarchenle. What about the oil of a persimmon? Not the persimmon itself, but the oil that is squeezed from a persimmon. Amalei hachin amarav Yehuda borei shemen artsenu. Blessed is the oil of our land. Nice. So Amalei bar minei the Rabbi Yehuda. You can't learn anything from Rabbi Yehuda. The chaviva le Eretz Yisrael. He was a fanatic Zionist. That's what it means. He loved Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, when he made a bracha borei shemen artzenu, that was for him. But what about l'kuli alma mai? What does the rest of us normal Zionists do? So Amalei hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan borei shemen arev. The mixture of the spices. It's very interesting, by the way, that it was like a person, based on your personality, would say a bracha that was different from somebody else. Amarav Ada Bar Ahava, Hai Kashrata Mivarchem Alei. What do you make a bracha? What about a kashrata? What kind of bracha do you make on it? So we say Borei Atzei B'Samim. Aval Mashka Kavisha Lo. So on this thing, which is a kashrata, hold on a second, I lost. I thought I made a note for myself. What's a kashrata? A kosht is one of the spices that we say p'tuma k'torin, a kosht va kinamon. That's one of the spices. I assume it comes from a tree. So if it's from this kosht, apparently we weren't quite sure what kind of bracha you make on it. So you say borei b'samim, but mishcha kavisha lo. But if you took kavisha means soaked. If you took the kosht and you soaked it in water and you came out with a nice smelling water, then you would say borei. You wouldn't say borei atzei b'samim. You would say no doubt borei minei b'samim. Rav Kana amar afilu mashka kavisha. No. if you make a liquid out of this coast, you still say borei atzeibus amim. Aval mishchatchina lo. But if you grind it up before you and then make like a paste out of it, then you wouldn't say borei atzeibus amim. You'd say borei menebus amim nahar dai. But people from Nari afilu mishchatchina. But even in that case, as long as it's any kind of coast product, even if it's ground, squished, squashed, frozen, whatever it is, unfrozen, you still make a borei atzei bisamim. Amarab Gidol Amarab, new Gemara, also on the topic of all kinds of practical questions when it comes to spices. Ha simlak mavarcham alai. What kind of bracha do you make on simlak? Simlak is jasmine. What bracha do you make on jasmine? Borei atzei bisamim. Amarab Chanani Amarab. Hi, chalfa dima mevarch malayu borei atzamim. Chalfa dima, which is what that is according to Rashi, is shibolet ner, which is also from the spices that a levi brings. You guys wouldn't know about that. That's an inner problem because you guys are all kohanim, but us levim who get chayiv mita if we miss one of the spices, so we know these things. So that's one of the spices that worst comes to worst, you just go get another levi if they mess up. But that's one of the spices. Say borei atzamim. Amar Zutra Mikra. How do I know? What?
Was also one of the 11.
What?
In the
which one?
The
yes, correct. So now we have right. So we mentioned two of the 11. But Similac is I don't know why Similac sort of got in the way because that's according to Rashi, if I'm not mistaken. What did I say? Jasmine. Amar Amar Zutra Mikra. How do I know? Apparently, there's some doubt about Chalfei Diyama. I guess there's some doubt, maybe because it says the Yama, so it was like an ocean. My guess is it may have been an ocean floater. And by the way, these are the kind of gemaras that scholars try to put together the original spices from. Because the original thing, you just mention the spices, but here you get clues to where the actual spices came from. So my guess is that this was some kind of seaweed or something that floated on water, or some kind of lily pot, or something that grew on water, just as a guess from the lashon of Chalfa de Maya. So maybe there was some question about whether you say borei atzeibus samim, since it doesn't grow up in the ground, it floats on the water. So he says, "Vehi hel latam agago v'titmenem v'pishtei ha'eitz." So that proves that pishtim, which kind of like gets soaked on water, is still considered pishtei ha'eitz, meaning even though pishtim are not really a tree, this sort of flaxy stuff is still considered a tree product. So they prove a pasuk. Mar misharshe amar hay narkum. What about a good old fashioned rose? Deganuta, if it comes from the garden, mavarchem aleha borei atzei b'samim. Dedavra, but what if it's a wild rose? Borei asavei b'samim. Then you say borei atzavei b'samim, and asev would be like from Bereishit, it would be a general like grasses. Amrav Sheshet, hani sigali mivarchem alayu borei atzei. I'm sorry, did I just say that? Oh no, hani sigale mivarchem alayu borei atzavei b'samim. I made a note to myself. Sigale is a violet. Sigale is a violet. Amamar Zutra. By the way, Rashi has this. Rashi says viola. So if you look in the old French, since a lot of our names for flowers come from the French, so if you look at Rashi, he'll actually help you out quite a bit here. Amamar Zutra Haiman Demorach Etrog Ob Chabusha. What about paste that comes from an etrog or chabusha is another type of fruit? What's the question here? The question is, what happens if I'm getting spices for something which I normally grow for eating purposes? In all the previous cases, I was talking about things where you can't eat. The only benefit that you can really get out of them, besides looking at them, is smell. But here, I could actually eat it. So what about the byproduct of an eating fruit? So Omer Baruch Shenatam Reach Tov L'Pero. So you say something totally new. You say, thank God we gave a nice smell to Pero. Now, I have to tell you an interesting aside.
What do you say?
Oh, if you eat it and you don't smell it?
We just ordered. We didn't get it yet. It's a drink that's made out of etrog.
So if you smell it?
It's going to smell good, and it's going to be something we're going to drink.
I would say that you say borei. I think you say borei. Anotereach tov l'pero. The question is, once it's, that goes back to the original question.
You'll find that it's smelly right before you drink it, though.
Yeah, I think to make a bracha, you have to really be thinking, I want to smell it. I don't think you just accidentally smell it. You really want to say, I really want to enjoy the smell. That goes back to that previous Gemara. There seems to be a machloket, but the Nahardayim said that even if you took that thing and turned it into an absolute paste, it's not like shakol, where if you process it down further enough, you can't tell what it was. According to that opinion, which seems to be the Nahardayim, seems to be the deciding opinion, even if you process it down to paste, it still retains the element of its old product. I'd have to say, again, ask your local rabbi, but I have to say, based on this Gemara alone, and it's never wise to pass them from a single Gemara. Based on this Gemara alone, I have to say that you'd say anotem reachto
b'pero.
And smell it, and then drink it, and say a bracha.
Make a bracha.
Oh, we'll get to an issue of what comes first, smell or Yeah, it's coming up. Oh, I see if you have a choice between making a bracha or smelling from it. So we'll see. It comes up in a second. Yeah. So the Gemara asked the same question. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about whether you're making a tzei bracha for a pear. What's interesting, by the way, just as an aside, I'm sorry, this is why I always learn Daf Yomi so slow, because it comes naturally to me to just, ponder what the possibilities are. I have to say that the Mishnah Berurah says something very strange when it comes to Havdalah, because the Shulchan Aruch says if you use fruit for Havdalah, you say, no tein reach kol pero, which is, I have to say, what I say. So what we do is with our etrog, is we keep our etrog, and we use our etrog, and even when it dries up, you scratch a little bit, it never rots, it has a smile, and that's what we say for Havdalah. In my family, we say, no tein reach kol pero. I have to admit, as a full disclaimer, however, the Mishnah Berurah suggests against it. The Mishnah Berurah actually advises that if you use a fruit to take some other spices and mix it in with it, so then you say Boreim and Ebsamim. Because he feels that Boreim and Ebsamim, the generic bracha, is better for Havdalah. But he never says why.
I thought what I had heard was just people get confused. We're not so expert nowadays.
I see.
People
so
keep it simple. Everyone says the same.
Maybe that's why. It's a confusing Mishnah Berurah, because I wish he would have explained that. I mean, that's very possible. The Mishnah Berurah just says this is what you do and doesn't even give an explanation. In the end, I don't know, I think you always have an option. If the Mishnah Berurah says what he does, especially if he doesn't give an explanation that satisfies, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah was great, but of course the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah is who we passim like. So I have to say, for myself, and this is just for myself, I get something very special out of, I remember in Israel
we used
to be...
We use the juice when it's up. We have a little...
And you say Borei Atzei...
And
you say Borei Mishamim. Oh, so that's a question. So the question is, whether it's Borei Mishamim, whether it should be Anotim Reapto Bera, you should probably ask. I have to say, I'm tempted to say it's Borei. And liquid state, I'm not sure, but I think if there was any. I got from Mark Rebinow, from Dr. Rebinow. So he always makes this etrog juice, and we get it with all of our stuff. So I have to say, if I were smelling that, I would, without question.
It's completely juice. I bought it.
So this is completely juice, I'm not sure. So etrog is wickedly, probably no better. But I think that there may be a reason to suspect. The question is, can you do that? I remember when I was in Israel, I used to be with a mishpacha, and they always, on the way home from shul, there was this spice bush. There was like really good smelling bush. They would always break up a little way off, and on the way home, they would say, Borei Atzei Abesamim. And that's a little bit of the Israel flavor. You know, always doing something a little bit weird and strange and off the beat. And that just stuck with me. I think it's beautiful to like not go on the beaten path, but that's my thing, and the Mishnah Berurah says what he does. So I happen to stick with the Anotem Rehafel Pero. So, sorry, I took 5 minutes out of our time. So when I said I'd get done in 40 minutes, I obviously lied. Amar Rav Yehuda, hi man, did nothing be yom in the Nissan. There's a guy who went out for a walk in Nissan. The Chazi Ilane to come to Mavle, and he saw budding. It's like going in Japan where they go see the cherry blossoms. He saw the blossoms. So Amar Baruch Shalom, Baruch Ata Hashem, obviously Shalom Chisor Ba'Olamo. You didn't take anything out of this world. There's nothing missing in the world. Klum Uvara Bo Briot Tovo. You created beautiful things. Vilanot Tovo, beautiful trees. Lehit Naot Bahem, to take pleasure in them. Bnei Adam, that managed to take pleasure in them. It's a beautiful bracha, right? Amar Rav Zutra. I don't know if we say it, but it's a beautiful bracha. Maybe we do. Amar Rav Zutra Bartuvia. Amar Rav Minayin Shemavarchem Al Areach. How do you know that you're supposed to? How do we know? We've been arguing about what bracha to say on smells, but how do you know you're supposed to say a bracha on smells? The Gemara says Kol Haneshama Tahal Yaliyah. Every soul, and for the word neshama, neshima means to breathe. Every breath will praise you. So Ezu Davar Shanashama Nehenate Mimeno. What is the thing which the breath would want to praise you for? The Eino Haguf Nehenen, and a person doesn't, Mimeno. Havi Omer, I'm going to tell you, Zareach. So we know from there that he's supposed to make a bracha on smells. Amar Rav Zutra Bar, whether that's an Asmach of Alma, or whether that's actually what the Pasuk means, that I couldn't say. Amar Rav Zutra Bar, Tuv Yamar Rav, Atidin Bechura Yisrael, Sheyitnu Reach Tov. In the end, the selected ones of Israel will give off a good smell, kalavanon, like the cedars of Lebanon. Shneamar, yelchu yogin kotav, their buds will stretch out, their roots will stretch out, or their blossoms will stretch out, vihi kazayit hodo, and their honor will be like the honor of an olive, reach lo kalavanon, they'll smell like the cedars. I can't begin to tell you what this Gemara is referring to. I don't know what it means when the yeshiva boys will smell. The first thing that jumped to my mind, of course, is if you've ever been to a real yeshiva, so I have to say, my wife and I, again, I apologize for the size. My wife and I, first, I took my wife to the Gush. She got 500 guys learning, and they're totally away from their parents, who remind them that they need to shower on a regular basis. So sometimes in the summer, in the Gush, at 100 degrees, it could be a little bit odoriferous. But I do not believe that's what the Gemara is talking about. I suspect that we're talking about Tchiyach HaMeitim. Amar Papa Hainu De Amrei Inchi Talalei Kura Le Davar Acher. What Papa says, this is exactly what happens when you take a kura, like a gourd, and you tie it onto a davar acher. Davar acher means a pig. The Gemara, they won't even say the word pig. They say davar acher means a pig. The Ihu Didei. Oh, I skipped something. I'm sorry. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. Amar Rav. My dechtiv et hakol aser yafeh beito. Everything beautiful in its proper time. Malamit shekol v'chad yipalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'mato b'fanav. Everybody, his own personal work, he loves to do. Garbage men, they love their work. Accountants love their work. Computer programmers love their work. Everybody, there's something they'd love to do, even though somebody else would think it's the worst job in the world. Amar Rav Papa, Hainu de Amri Inchi, that's the common phrase that people say. Tala kur l'davar acher, you could take a gourd and put it onto a pig. The Iyu di day abi, he does whatever he wants with it. When he rolls over it in the dirt and then he eats it after it's dirty. In modern English, we could say you could give a diamond to, you give a diamond to, and he'll put it in the dirt or something like that. Everybody appreciates things in their own way. Amarav Zutra Bar Tuv, Amarav, Avuka Kishnayim. It's a brand new Gemara, brand new subject. Avuka Kishnayim. If you go out with a torch at night, it's like you have two people. Viarea Kishlosha. And I'm over translating. A Avuka, a torch, is like two. And a yareach, the moon, is like three. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure exactly what you mean. Ibailu, I got a question for you. Avuka kishnayim v'hadade hadade. Do you mean the avuka is two with the guy, which means it adds on one? Odilma avuka kishnayim levar mididay. Or do you mean that avuka counts as two plus the one guy that's there equals three, which means that the levana would be three plus one would be four? So the Gemara says, tashma, v'yareach kishlosha. You said Yareach is like three. If you're saying that counts the guy in the three, you're good. If you can say that it's three plus the guy, Arba Lamali, what do I need four for? V'hamar Mar, it's a well-known statement that Mar says, Le'echa Nira Umazik. For one, something comes and does him damage at night. Let's say a shade. L'shnayim nira ve'eno mazik, a shade shums up but doesn't bother him. L'shlosh eino nir kol ikar. If you have three people there, or one person and one moon, then the mazikim don't even come close to him. Elalav shmamine avuka k'shnayim ba'adi adadi shmamine. That proves that when we talked about the avuka, it meant two with him, not two in addition to him. Therefore, if you go in a torch, you're likely to see shade him, but you're not likely to be hurt by them, although I would not suggest experimentation. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. Amri Lay. Some people say Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rebbe Shimon Chasida, and some people say Amar Rebbe Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. We don't know who it is, but one of these guys said, Noch Adam Shiapil Atmo Tok Kivshana Eish Val Yalvim Pnei Chaveru Biravim. It's better for a person to throw themselves in a fire to destroy oneself than to embarrass somebody in public. Yalbim Panav means to turn his face white, which means to cause somebody embarrassment in public. This is one
for the other person.
That is to embarrass somebody in public. There are other Gemaras that say that embarrassment in public is like murdering somebody. And the truth is, you know, for real embarrassment, you know, it's true. You can really kill somebody by shaming somebody in public. Yeah, that's right. That's another one. Now I have to say, where does this Gemara come in? I could not tell you. It's not related to what happened.
It's from Zutra Bar Tuvia.
Oh, is that the connection? It's just related to the same person. Oh, okay, I see. I was racking my head trying to figure out what the connection was. So the Gemara says, Minalan, how do I know this? So the Gemara says, Mitamar, from the famous story of Tamar. Shanem Marhi Mutse. Before identifying Yehuda as the one who slept with her in prostitution, so she was willing to be killed before embarrassing Yehuda, which shows what a great woman she was. Tana Rabban, Abiyu Lefanav, Shemen, Vehadas. What if a person has in front of him oil and Hadas is, a tree? First you make a bracha on the oil, and then afterwards you make a bracha on the hadas. So first you have the hadas, and then you make a bracha on shemen. Amar Rav Gimel, Amar Rav Gamliel, Ani Achri, I'm going to tell you who's right. Shemen, zachinu l'reach, zachinu l'sichato. Oil, you could do two things with it. You could smell it, and you could heal yourself with it. Hadas, l'recho zachinu, it's true that by hadas you could smell it, well, the sichato is zochinu. It has no other use, and therefore the precedent is like Rabbi Shima, is like Beit Shammai, which means the shemen comes with a hadas. And therefore, I would suggest an answer to a question about the fruit and the what you were saying before. The fruit and I would have to say the fruit would come first because you have based on this Gemara, and we see Beit Shammai is right. Therefore, if you have a bracha, if you have something before you that you could do two brachas on, that is the food plus the smell, I think you have to make the bracha. Oh, that doesn't directly answer your question, though. Taka doesn't answer your question. And Tadir Shenim Tadir Tadir Kodim may not answer your question either. So you know what? I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe it's based on what you want to do first. I don't know. Yeah, I think we have to look it up. Maybe it'll mention it later on. Yeah, I don't know. Consult your local Orthodox rabbi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Ki Divrei Amachriya. Guess what? Beit Shammai is right, just like Rabbi Gamliel said he was right. Rav Papa Ikla Lebei. Now this is difficult, Gemara. Rav Papa Ikla Lebei Rav Huna. It's difficult not to understand. It's difficult to play with. Rav Papa Ikla Lebei Rav Huna. Rav Papa visited Rav Huna. This is Beit Shammai. Yeah, there is a machloket here. There is somebody who says that we don't go like Beit Shammai, but you'll see why we go like Beit Shammai in a second. Yeah, this is pretty convincing. Rav Papa Ikla Lebei Rav Huna Berei de Rav Ika. I to the Kami Shemen Vahadas. They brought for him oil and just a nice smelling hadas. Shapkil Rav Papa Baruch Hadas. So he put out his hand and he took the hadas. Bereisha first took the hadas, which means he went like Beit Hill, not Beit Shammai. Vahadas Baruch Hashemen. Amar Lei Lo Savar Lei Mark Halach Divrei Machriya. Don't you pay attention? Rabbi Gamliel told you that Beit Shammai is right. Amar Lei Hacha Amar Rava Halachas to Beit Hillel. No. I heard from Rava that the halach is like Beit Hillel, which means you're telling me Rabbi Gamliel, but I have something from Rava. So first of all, it's very strange because Rava is an Amora, and Rabbi Gamliel is a Tana. Then the Gemara says Velohi. It would never happen in the first place. Leishtemute Nafshei Hadati. The only reason why he mentioned Rava, that he's holding like Rava, is because he wants to not be, he wants to support his position. His position was Beit Hillel, so therefore he cited Rava, who cited Beit Hillel, just to prove that he had somebody on his side. That is a strange Gemara right there. And I have to tell you, the Bach erases it. Bach erases it. Now, whether he erases it because it's an offensive Gemara, or whether he erases it because he had a manuscript and didn't have it, I don't know, but we don't
have things like this.
What?
People quoting things in other people's names to save themselves from embarrassment.
Very strange. There are some Gemaras that are critical of Rebbeim. It does happen. The Gemaras sometimes criticizes, but this is, I agree with you. I'm not the master of Gemara. I'm a Mir Dol Shas, but this is the first time in my years of learning Shas I've ever seen somebody quoting somebody wrong. Before I saw the Bach removed it, I tell you what I thought. I thought that Rava did say it, but he knew it was a minority opinion, but he decided to go with the minority opinion to support his own personal view. That's a little bit more palatable. It's not that he's lying about what Rava said. It's he knew Rava was wrong, but he was going to cite him anyway because he wanted to support his own opinion, even though it was a fair citation. It was just inappropriate to use it. Somebody has an argument that, the Mets are the best baseball team in the world. Everybody knows he's wrong, but I'm going to cite them anyway because I feel like citing this guy just to prove my opinion, not because it's factually correct. I prefer the Bach. The Bach takes the whole thing out and that removes it. I least prefer the idea that, to my mind, the idea that Rav Papa would misquote Rava to support his fake halacha, I find that impossible. I'm prepared to criticize Chazal because I think Chazal is the most critical Chazal, but I don't get it. Here I don't accept. I just don't like it. Tana Rabban, Avilufneim Shemen, Avilufneim Shemen Yayim Beit Shammai Omri. What happens if? Oh, this is it. What happens if you have shemen and yayin? If you have oil and you have wine, Beit Shammai Omrim Ochez Hashemen Biyunino. You take the shemen in one hand, but the yayin v'smolam mavarach al Hashem v'chozem mavarach al yayin. First you do shemen and wine. Beit Shammai Omrim Beit Hill Omrim No Ochez that the yayin biyunino. You take the wine in your right hand, but the shemen v'smolam mavarach al yayin v'chozem mavarach al Hashemen. You do wine first. The tachu. So I have to say, I think that's conclusive, Larry, to what you were trying to say. And then what do you do with it after with oil? So now we're going to get off a separate subject. Ventachu Barosh Hashem, Shamash. Then you take the oil that you made a brach on, you wiped on your hand, you wipe it off on the head of the Shamash. I like that for the Gavai. That's what a Gavai had to put out with. V'ima Shamash Tamal Chacham. What if the Shamash is Tamal Chacham? Tachu B'kotel, you wipe it off on the wall. Mitnei Shignayel Tamal Chacham and take the Shuk Musam. A Tamal Chacham doesn't go on wearing, what do you call it today, what men wear? Cologne. No man would go out into the Shuk wearing cologne. Tana Rabban and Shisha Devarim Gnailo Tamal Chacham. There are six things that the Tamal Chacham should never do. It's an embarrassment. Don't do it. Al Yetzei Shum Vusam Suk. Don't go out perfumed. Al Yetzei Yechidi B'Laila. Don't go out alone at night. Al Yetzei B'Na'alim V'Tulayim. Don't go out with ripped up shoes. Al Yisafer Yim Isha B'Shuk. Do not tell stories with a woman in Shuk. I don't want to say don't speak with a woman in Shuk. I want to stick with the actual language, which is Yisafer. Don't tell stories with a woman shuk. Al yaseiv b'chabura shel amei aretz. Don't hang around with people who aren't talmei chachamim, and al yikan, which means people who really don't know any Torah. V'al yikanes b'achrono b'beit midrash. Don't be the last person in the beit midrash. Of course, that always strikes me weird because somebody has to be last, right? How is it possible for There's always, I mean, that's weird, like, watch people jumping in the window, so they're not going to be last. The Yesharim, Aflo, Yafsiyapsi, Agasa, don't... Oh, so it leaves the Amaharis for the last. Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Okay. So his Talmud Chacham pushed the other guy out of the way to make sure he gets it first. It's a little strange, but okay. I think the idea is just, you know, make sure you don't come late to davening. Don't take too big steps. Don't rush. Don't walk standing up straight. Famous Gemara, of course, about a kippah, which is some rabbi wouldn't walk for him without bending down. And then his son said, "I'm not as strong as my father was. I just wear a kippah on my head to show Yirat Shemayim." So that, and that's how we pass him. We don't pass. Well, Jews have been only passing like that. Minhag's only the kippah's only minhag a few hundred years old. Aliyah takes shumavu samsuk. What are they talking about perfume? Amar Rav Barei Rav Chia Barei Bar Abba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Shach Shudim al Mishkab Zachar, only in a place where the homosexuality is likely. If you have a place where it's not likely to have a homosexual situation, so therefore you can go off perfume because everybody knows you're just doing it because you just worked out or had a basketball game and you don't want to stink. Amar Rav Sheshed, Lo Amran Elo Bibigdo Aval Begufo. That's only, they never said such a thing, only if you put it in your clothes. But if you put it on your body, Zeyam Avalei. Everybody knows why you're doing it. You're not doing it because you want to pick up guys. You're doing it, or maybe even to pick up girls, so he may not agree with the previous opinion of Abba Breda Rochia, but you're doing it because you're trying to get rid of the sweat, because your body's sweating. Amar Papa Vasaro Kibigdo Dami. According to one opinion, you're putting your hair, it's like you're begging, and therefore it's Usser. Vamile, there's another opinion of Papa that they heard is Kigufo, Kigufo Dami, that the Sar is okay because it's just like your body, so we don't know which way to go. Va'al Yetze Yechida B'layla. What about not going at night? Mishum Chashti. You have to worry about those things that are going to hurt you at night. Velo amanel de kviyale inna. That's, oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. This is going out at night. Has nothing to do with the shadim. This is whether you have a moon or whether you have an avuka. It doesn't make a difference. Don't go out and walk around at night because the chashada, Rashi says, chashada that you're going to go and have an affair. Velo amanel de kviyale inna. That's only where he has nothing to do. Velo kviyale inna. Aval kviyale inna made the yadu de la inna ka'azil. That's where he doesn't have a chavruta at night. If he has a chavruta at night, he could certainly go out at night. Rosh is chavruta. The simple term of inna just means he has an appointment. Everybody knows exactly where he's going. They don't have to worry about it. Although Rosh may be right, he may just be talking about if he has Torah to learn. Al yetei min alima tulein. What about not going out with the holy shoes? That's holy as in H-O-L-Y. Oh, it's the same?
No, H
without
the W.
Right, without the W. So, oh, but H-O-L-E-Y, I suppose, to H-O-L-Y. That's the difference. Damar Yatza Menalim Tulaim. Mitzayele the Rabbi Bar, the Rechia Bar Ava. Damar Rechia Bar Ava. Gnai Hu Tam Chachim Shatza Menalim Tulaim. It's actually a lacha that I learned once upon a time, that if you go, oh, Tam Chachim also would stain on his shirt, he's Chayiv Mita, because he's embarrassing Torah. Spots on his pants, yeah. You know. So again, I don't you have to get too nervous. That's talking about a Talmud Chacham, you know. That's not like just our Talmud Chacham. That's even like today, Talmud Chacham has become so common that if you really want to call somebody Talmud Chacham, you have to say he's a real Talmud Chacham. But this is even talking beyond a real talk. This is talking about, like, you know, the biggie. And the biggie can't go out looking bad because he embarrasses the Torah, because then nobody who wants to be like a rabbi who looks like a jerk, which is true. Who would want to be like a rabbi who looks like a jerk? And there's something to do that. Anyway, so whether it's actually Chayiv Mita, I don't know, but I think the point they're trying to make is clear and strong. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Imi, say it isn't so. Vaha, Rav Chiya Bar Abba Nafik. I see, this is true, the Rav Chiya Bar Nafik went out with the holy shoes. Amar Zucha Breda Rav Nachman Batali Agabi Tlai. No, they have to be holes on top of holes, which means not just a little poke here, a little poke there. It's got to look really, really dilapidated. Velo Amanella Papanta, that's only the top of the shoe. Aval Begilda, but of the soul, let them lay by. That is, you know, the fact that you're going to get calluses in the bottom of your feet is your problem. The question is how you look. It's not how you feel. What was that thing from Saturday Night Live? It's not how you feel, it's how you look. And you look marvelous. As long as you look marvelous, you are fine. Zumara then says, Ubifanta, even on the top of the shoe, Velo Amanella Beorcha, Aval Bebete, let lampa. That's only when it's on the road, but in the house, you can schmooze around however you want. You know, you want to wear ripped up jeans and schmooze around in your sandals, your broken sandals, it's fine, it's your house. Velo Amanella Be Yemota Chama, but that's only in the summer when you go out. Aval Yemota Gshamim, when it's all muddy, let lampa. That obviously wouldn't apply today, because our roads in the winter are better than their roads were in the summer. Al Yisaper Imi Shavashuk. What about not telling stories or doing something, socializing maybe, with a woman? Shuk, Amar Chistav, Afil Hishto. Don't even do it with your wife. Tanya Nami Hachi, Afilu Hi Yishtov, Afilu Hi Bitov, Afilu Hi Achotov, even your sister or your daughter, don't be caught schmoozing with them in a shuk. Because not everybody knows that it's your wife or your daughter or your sister. Va'al Yasei B'chavur Shalami Aretz, don't hang around with people who don't know Torah.
Think you're trying to solicit a prostitute.
So
no,
she's your wife. Now nobody comments, you know, in all the other ones we comment that's only in the place for homosexuality. That's only the place for here. So here you could also argue that the Gemara didn't say what it could have said, which is this is only in a place where you really have to suspect a possibility of either prostitution like Rashi or adultery or some other situation. You know what? You know what's interesting about what Rashi is doing is Rashi is avoiding. He's not talking about he's not talking about, you know, a singles. He's, you know, singles apparently. There's no chashit. It's only a case where people worry about. So it talks about the Yisra a little bit. Anyway, look. What's that?
It shouldn't be with a woman, even if she's your wife, even a case for singles.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, but why? Because there's a chashda, there's a concern that he may be soliciting prostitution. Mm-hmm. But that, what does that tell you? That it's prostitution. What if people just thought you were schmoozing with a single girl? That we're not worried that you'd be worried about. We're worried about that you're actually going for the full-fledged prostitution. I think you could deduce from that the Yisra that they're talking about is a more serious Yisra. That is, it's Yisra anyway. Because we're worried about the scenario, but not worried about a scenario of just the fact that you're talking to your daughter, your sister, or even some other woman. The concern is that you're actually trying to solicit. I don't know why Rashi limits prostitution. I don't know why he says doesn't say adultery also. And the question is, what if just like the other cases where I have a reason to believe that there's no such thing? I'm a marketing guy. I'm a sales guy, and I'm meeting with a woman from another. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't comment. The Gemara is very black and white. Don't do it. So where the Rishonim go with this, I think, is beyond the scope of me to conjecture, and how it fits into modern times is certainly beyond the scope of me to conjecture. Why you say b'chavur shalom aretz? Why hang out? Don't hang out with people who don't know Torah. So my time, why not? Peer pressure. All you can ask achron lebein midras. Don't be the last one lebein midras. Mishum dekari le posheya, because they consider him a posheya. Now what is posheya? What does Rashi say here about posheya? Lazy. Posheya is a lazy guy. You don't want to be considered a lazy guy. Don't show up late. Don't take too big steps. Don't like take really big strides. Damar psia gasin notelat achat mitaf tet kuf mitaf kuf mimoori nashal dam. If you walk too fast like this, it takes away 1/500th of the light of your eyes. I don't know what they're talking about. Are they talking about a medical situation where if you overexert yourself, you're more likely to have a stroke or something like that? I don't know. Are they talking about a Kabbalistic idea that if I'm rushing places, I dim my wisdom? I do not know what's going on. But what's interesting is you get a sense of it from the Takanta. My Takanta, Lahadre Bekedusha de Beishimshe. Now, literally translated, it means... What does Tosa say? It's physical damage.
Only the first strike causes the amount of damage. Subsequent strikes take away 1/500th of the remaining eyesight.
Uh-huh. You know what's weird though, the Takanta, look at the Takanta. Takanta is Lahadre, to run after, Kedusha, the Kiddush, to Beis Shimshay in the house of the Shamish. And Rashi says, something beautiful there.
Kiddush
of the Shabbat Laila. That is the way to revive yourself in this Psiya Gasa is by drinking Kiddush wine. If you ask me what it means, at least what Rashi thinks it means, is he's talking about the rush of life versus Shabbat, which allows you to recover. You see what I'm saying? That is in the middle of the week, I'm rushing, I'm killing myself, gotta go here to this job, go to that job, So he says that kills you a little bit. It takes something out of you. So based on Rashi's interpretation of this Gemara, what it means is the way to get that back is sit down and really have a good kiddush on Shabbat and appreciate the Shabbat day as essentially a physical and spiritual restorer. And that's how I'm interpreting the Gemara based on Rashi's interpretation. Yeah. So right. So the problem is that's the weird thing. So the Gemara says debei shimshay. What's the kedusha debei shimshay? It's a very strange lashon. So apparently it's like the house of use or something like that. So you're right, this is where, if you've ever been to Hasidim, you ever been to Lubavitch, so what they do in Havdalah is they put they take the wine that drips off and they put a little in their pockets for good luck, and then a little around the eyes for this. What's that?
We put on our eyebrows.
Yeah.
Should bless us with spiritual insight and also good eyesight.
This is based on the Tosfot. This is based on the Tosfot. Oh, that's right. I didn't know that.
The third is in the
pocket. The Parnassa. Obviously, when I was looking at it, I was paying attention to the Parnassa part. So that's based on the Tosfot.
Put on the eyebrows, not on the eyes itself, but yeah.
So the nice thing about these philosophical gemaras is that you could pass them both like Tosfos and like Rashi. According to Tosfos, you do it because it is a Kabbalistic benefit of bringing you back a little bit of your life. According to Rashi, I think it's more of a psychological, spiritual benefit of just appreciating Shabbat for what it is, and that essentially returns back the life that you lost during the week. What about walking straight? You walk 4 amot. It's like you bang against the legs of God, so to speak, the presence of God. God is everywhere. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally. It just means the reason why we wear kippah, to appreciate that God is everywhere, and therefore, if you walk around without a head covering or without being bent over, you're supposed to walk around with the constant recognition that everywhere, essentially, you're ducking. There's something about it. I remember when I was in the tank corps, so we used to run around. Whenever we did something wrong, we'd have to run. Atoeta tank, it was like a mile away. You have a minute to get to the tank and back. What was the biggest problem? You were running, desperate to get around the tank. At least, inevitably, there's always one guy a day, bang, right into the totak, right into the barrel of the tank. So eventually, after a few times, I tell you, it's a very hard barrel of a tank. So you go, for the first time, you bang your head into the barrel of the tank, you don't forget to duck the next time. So it's a similar idea. You just know that he's there, so you duck a little bit, so as not to get cracked in the head. And I think that's the point of the line. Anyway, I'm sorry. I went the full hour and then some. So I apologize. No. Oh, only 50 minutes.